I was thinking this week about mothers and Mother's Day, and it hit me this profound truth. And maybe it's profound to me and not to you, but it really struck my heart. God in His grace has given me a daughter. And I have the opportunity to teach this young lady, to train her, to disciple her as the best I can. And it hit me that one of the things that we will discuss down through the years of her upbringing is going to be, what does it mean to be a mom? What does it mean to be a mommy? How do I be a mommy? How can I please God with children? Daddy, I see how this world is hard, but I want to be a good mommy. And it struck me, and I had to think, what would I tell her? What could I teach her? What could I share with her that would equip this young lady at whatever stage she is in life, that would equip her to have a biblical vision of motherhood? And thus began a journey for me as I spent some time in the scriptures looking all throughout it at this idea of a mother, the concept of a mother, seeking to understand and be equipped myself to be able to raise a young lady in our culture to have a biblical vision for motherhood. Now, of course, the journey begins in the beginning, in Genesis, where we read about Eve in Genesis chapter 4. One thing that I desire my daughter to understand, and one thing I believe God wants each of us, especially you ladies here today, is to understand that motherhood is a calling from the Lord. It is not your duty. It is your privilege. You realize our culture preaches otherwise. Our society tells us that if you are a mother, your life will be full of challenges, and it will. You don't want to be a mother too many times because of the difficulties that means. Children are looked upon as a burden in many cases. Our culture is stripping the parental rights away from us and taking them on themselves, if they can even claim to do so. Our culture is preaching an amoral vision of motherhood. And we as the church must pour into the lives of our ladies what the Bible has to say about mothering. A biblical vision for motherhood understands God's purposes above all others. We begin with Eve in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. It says, Adam knew Eve his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Now you read that in that one sentence, and we don't see inflection, we don't see exclamation points or whatever, But we can imagine here that she exclaiming this with praise. Why? This is the first time that there is a mother, but this is showing the value of the promises of God that have existed already in Eve's life. God issues the command, go and fill the earth. And then there's a sin, and in the midst of the giving of the curse, God says in chapter 3 and verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There is a promised deliverer that will come through the seed of a woman. And therefore, Eve, who is a sinner at this point, she has sinned. They are separated from God. They have been kicked out of the Garden of Eden. She has been told that giving birth is going to be painful, and yet she sits there and praises God. I have been given a child from the Lord. At the end of chapter 4, verse 25, Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. A biblical vision for motherhood. As ladies, you must embrace the promises of God above all else. You see, for Eve, all the way up to Mary, the mother of Jesus, it was the desire of each godly woman, each Jewish woman, to be the mother of the seed, the mother of the deliverer. And you see, each time a mother would have a child, it was a time of great rejoicing, because God gave great promises through children. You think of Abraham, that God had a covenant with Abraham that he would have a son. And it was through his son that all the nations of the world would be blessed. Sarah laughed. She laughed when she heard that. She was old. But God answered that promise and provided them a son. A biblical vision for motherhood means that we impress upon ladies that God has a purpose for you and for your children. What does it mean today? What is the value of being a mother? What is the purpose? What are the promises that we can cling to as moms? The Great Commission. Are we familiar with what that says? Matthew 28. We're going to be turning several places today, so get your nimble fingers out. Go to Matthew chapter 28. And I want you to see something here. Jesus, his end of his earthly ministry on the earth, he's looking at all of his disciples around him. And he issues this command. Chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 18. And Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Ladies, you realize that Great Commission, as we like to call it, is a call for us as people, as followers of Jesus Christ, to have a worldwide impact, to spread the news of Jesus all over the world. And you, moms, are used by God as you disciple your children, as you multiply. Your children then have an opportunity to work in this commission that Jesus Christ has given us. And you have a tremendous promise and purpose here. What would I tell my daughter? I would say motherhood. Motherhood is of great value. Because, honey, God wants to reach the world for Christ. And just like your mommy taught you about Jesus, you're going to teach your little ones about Jesus. And just think, if your little ones go out and tell somebody else about Jesus, and then as they grow up and become mommies and daddies, they tell their little ones about Jesus, and so on and so forth. Do you see the vision? Do you see the purpose? There is a great value in being a mom. Being a mom is more than just being a taxi. It's more than just wiping noses and bruised knees. It's about raising up a godly generation to accomplish the purposes of God, and that is that this entire world will hear the name of Jesus. Are you tired of being a mom? Are you drained? I want to refresh you today with the promises of God and the purpose that God has, a calling on your life to raise up a new generation that will reach the world for Christ. A biblical vision of motherhood involves embracing the promises and purposes of God. Listen to this quote that I found, given by none other than Abraham Lincoln. No man is poor who has had a godly mother. It's not scripture, but it's a profound truth. This transitions us into the second point. Not only is the biblical vision of motherhood involving embracing the promises and purposes of God, but it involves and it demands that you be a purposeful teacher of your children. It is a sad, sad thing today to walk through our grocery stores, our Walmarts, and to listen to the interaction between parents and their children. It is disheartening. And as the Lord gives us the ability and the grace, we as a church should be equipping young people to be godly parents. But the scriptures time and time again tell us that a biblical vision of motherhood involves instruction. And this is not just go put your dishes in the sink, but this is instruction that dives deep into the heart of your little ones. It dives so deep that you are teaching them truths that will guide them the rest of their lives. We could go to several places throughout the scriptures, but I'll just focus in on Proverbs. Go to Proverbs. I want you to know that there's at least six times just in the book of Proverbs where a mother is mentioned in conjunction with teaching and discipline. Now, yes, it's not just the role of a mother. But mothers, you must embrace this aspect of biblical motherhood. Being a purposeful teacher of godly principles into the lives and the hearts of your children is imperative. When they are born little sinners. I don't need to tell you that. But they are. They are born little sinners, and they are in desperate need of God's truth to be inputted into their lives. Otherwise, they will just continue to go the way of the world. That's the default mode of all human beings. But you as a mother have the tremendous privilege and responsibility to pour into these little ones God's truth. And I keep saying little ones. Listen, being a mother never ends. Being a mother never ends. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. And I love how Proverbs does this. Just about in every instance, unites the father and the mother together. But focus, look at what it says, Proverbs 1:8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Not only are you to embrace the promises and purposes of God, but have a vision that you're teaching your children godly truth is like you're dressing them up with jewelry. You are enriching their lives for a future to be lived for the Lord, where they are beautiful in God's sight and they are attractive to a world that knows no beauty such as this. Proverbs chapter 6. I read this to the children this morning, but I share it again with you. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, forsake not the law of thy mother, bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When you go, it shall lead you. When you sleep, it shall keep you. When you are awake, it shall talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. A biblical vision of motherhood is purposely investing and teaching your children the truths of God. It's like dressing them in jewelry. It's like clothing them with the truth that will go with them the rest of their lives. How many of you sit at home and you worry about your children when they're away from you? I will probably struggle with that, but you know what? Biblical vision of motherhood says when you have them, you teach them. And you invest as much as you can in their lives. And then, of course, the other side of that then is you entrust them in the Lord's hands. Did you know that God is a better mom than you are? Did you know, dads, that God is a better protector of that little girl than you are? I pray for my little girl every day, and I pray that God would protect her from evil. I would hate to see anything happen to that little girl. But you know what God's call upon me is that I trust Him to take care of her. So a biblical vision of motherhood, if I were telling my little girl, is you choose to trust in God's promises and purposes for life. There is a reason for you to have children, to be involved in the lives of children, so that you can teach them and raise up a new godly generation. You need to purposely invest and teach your children the truths of God's Word. You know, the Scriptures give us a really, really powerful example of this. Well, several of them, but I think of Timothy. keep your finger in Proverbs. Go back to Timothy. I want you to see something in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, in chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Who's he talking to? Timothy. Who is he referring to? His grandmother and his mother. What did they teach him? I believe it tells us in chapter 3. Look at verse 14. Chapter 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which you have learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What do we know about Timothy? Well, we know that Timothy joined Paul on his missionary journeys. He was a disciple of Paul. We know that Paul left him in Ephesus to be the pastor and the shepherd of those people. Did these moms have an impact? Absolutely. Did they take their role seriously? Yes. They purposely invested in the lives of their children, the Holy Scriptures. And a note that we don't always take, something we don't always take note of, is they did it without their husbands. Timothy's dad, we don't know anything about except for he was a Greek, and we assume he did not know the Lord. But it was his mom who was mentioned as the one who invested in him. His grandmother. That's why motherhood never ends. You become a grandmother, continue to invest the spiritual truth into your daughter. But then your audience expands. Isn't it wonderful that your audience expands after God has given you many, many years of learning, right? And all of those years of learning and experience go, woo, invest, 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 invest into the lives of these young people. A biblical vision of motherhood. The promises and purposes of God are your top priority. Give you a reason for what you're doing. And what are you to do? You are to invest purposefully. Why do I keep saying that? It's because so many of us think this is just a casual thing to do. I will do it as I get time, or as the opportunities come, I'll teach. No, because they will not come, or you will not have time to invest when they do come. Purposely choose to invest in the lives of your children the biblical truths of the Scriptures. You teach them what it means to be a godly woman or a godly man. You teach them respect and honor. You teach them about the greatness of God. And you teach them that God sees everything they do. And He knows what they think. And they saw what they did yesterday. Create for them a huge canvas that God is all over. You know, as I thought about a vision, what is a vision? What is it? How could you define it? As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how a vision is seeing how something small fits into God's great plan. You probably feel small when you think of God's great plan. But a vision is seeing how you and how your children fit into that great plan, that big picture, that huge mural on the wall. And you're just a tiny little speck. But without that little speck, it wouldn't be the same. You know, God, that's what He's doing. He's got a master plan, and you're a part of it, and your children are a part of it, and God has called you to be a mom, and that's part of it. Embrace that calling, the promises and purposes of God, and then purposely invest these truths into the lives of your children. Susanna Wesley is a popular mom, and many people look at her for examples. She had some rules for raising children. I want to share them with you. Number one, subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. Number two, teach him to pray as soon as he can speak. Number three, give him nothing he cries for and only what is good for him if he asks for it politely. Number four, to prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. Number five, commend and reward good behavior. Number six, strictly observe all promises you have made to your child. Biblical vision of motherhood involves embracing the promises and purposes of God. In other words, seeing how the little things will fit into God's great big plan. It's purposely investing into the lives of your children God's truth, taking seriously your role as a teacher in the lives of your children. Let me just read a couple other passages from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 23, verse 22, "Hearken unto thy father that begot thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice." Proverbs 29:15. "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself," listen to this, mothers, "but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Allow that to settle on your mind. Why do you purposely invest in your children and train them and teach them? Because if you just leave them alone, the Bible tells us it bringeth the mother to shame. You know, a part of teaching is discipline. That's really what it is. Our children need that discipline in their lives. Why? Because they're born little sinners. And they need to be directed in the ways of God. And sometimes they need some reminders. They need some directions. Proverbs 30, verse 17 says, "The eye that mocketh at his father despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and young eagles shall eat it." What's that telling us? The instructions of a mother are valuable. And then listen to Proverbs 31, verse 1. You were wondering when I was going to get there, huh? Proverbs 31, verse 1. "The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him." Did you catch that? His mom taught him this. And then you can go down and read, and she's teaching him how to be a wise king and stay away from strong drink and a list of things. His mom taught him these things. Invest in the lives of your children. Well, you know what? The Bible tells us of something else about moms. And that is that not only are they to a biblical vision of motherhood, it involves embracing the promises and purposes of God for your role and purposely investing God's truth in your children. But it also involves gently caring and comforting those little ones. Now you might say, "Well, I got that one. I know all about that." Well, maybe you do, and I'm glad you do, but I want you to know that's valuable in the sight of God. You know, as the scripture speaks and seeks to describe comfort and gentleness, what does God use to illustrate that? a mom. You know, as much as I try to be gentle, as much as I try to be loving and caring, as much as I try to comfort when there's a scraped knee, somehow the words, "Get up, you're okay," just come out. Why do my kids run to mama? Why? It's because in God's infinite wisdom, He's made us different. And He's made us in such a way that moms know how to care, to be gentle and loving, and our children need that. Your role as a mother is necessary. You are needed. Do you believe that? You are needed. These little children, as they are born, they are relying upon you. Our young ladies need to be taught that. You are a needed part of this little one's life. A valuable part. In Isaiah chapter 66, as God is describing what it's going to be like in the earthly kingdom, in the millennium, Isaiah chapter 66, listen to verse 12. "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall you suck. You shall be borne upon her sides and be dangled upon her knees. As one whom his mother comforts, so will I comfort you, and you shall be comforted in Jerusalem." You catch what God's doing there? God's taking a mom. And the comfort that a mom gives to their little children, He says, "That's how I'm going to comfort you. That's the comfort I bring to you, my children. I will bring that to you in those days of the kingdom." Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, "But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherishes her children." That's a nursing mom. What do? You cherish that child. Examples of this throughout the scripture, I thought of two. Jochebed, how she cared for Moses. She didn't despise life, but embraced life. And she sought to save his life by putting him on the ark, that little basket in the bulrushes. And then she took care of him, received wages from the Pharaoh's daughter, and she raised that little boy. At least the minimum of 2 years, some believe all the way up to maybe 7 years. What was she doing? Investing in his life, but giving him the nurture, the care that only a mom could give. Pharaoh's daughter couldn't provide that. Then there's Hannah, how she cared for Samuel. We miss this, but in the chapter that follows about how she gave birth to this son, and she was barren. You remember the story. She was barren. She prayed, and God gave her a son. And she had promised to give the son to the Lord and the Lord's work, and so she did. But listen to what it says. "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." You know, it doesn't say that dad brought him a coat. It was mom. She made him a coat. Is that a big deal? Well, I believe it tells us, just by God's insertion of that detail, that a mom is a gentle, caring, and comforting part of our lives. So a biblical vision of motherhood: see that big picture, realize the promises and purposes of God for you in God's great plan of history and of the future. Purposefully invest God's truth through teaching and discipline And then embrace your role as a gentle comforter. And be there for your children because they desperately need you. Lord Jesus, this is a precious subject and something that is of great value. And I thank you for your word and how it teaches us. I thank you for the many mothers that are in your word. Thank you for the many mothers that are here today. And God, I just ask that you would help us as a church to be promoters of a biblical vision for mothers. Raise up a godly generation, I pray. And may this world hear the name of Christ. God, we look forward to your return. But until that day, may we be faithful ministers of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.